Welcome everybody. Please sit comfortably. Here we are, sitting here in St. Paul's in Fremantle. You and me, sort of. And this is the issue here. We're here, sort of. What is it that's here as you, as me? And what is this here? And how do we look into this without descending ever more deeply into our already overwhelming self-centricity? It's all about me. How do we experience broadly, intimately, completely? How do we become free of our ideas, of our cognitive framing, of perception that constantly diminishes experience of the current into manipulatable pieces, as if for trade? How do we live unfettered at the cliff edge of birth and death? This. Here. Now. It's said that Zen is a special transmission outside the tradition, not reliant on words and letters. So many words. Perhaps it would be better, more pure, to just nod my head and knock the floor with the kotsu, conveying the length and breadth of the Dharma of just this, the current. Apparently not. So it's a Zen teacher's curse to set up waves where the ocean is utterly calm of itself. You're sitting here, the easing rain, a hardwood floor. Master Kusana Songlong Sa would warn his disciples to hear his words as if a drag of creepers. Subtext, watch out, you're being entangled. Right now. Or as Ross would admonish, don't be led about by words. It's said that the way to listen to a Zen talk or Taisho is to listen as if it's presented for you alone, because it is. Nothing tricky in this. It's simply and naturally so. The talk, the words are yours in the most generous, unbounded sense. It's like listening to the breath or listening to a sunrise. How do you listen to the sunrise? Completely. How do you listen completely? We listen ourselves away. And here is the current in its full rush, already complete. Nothing is contrived here. Like heeding the undifferentiated sensation of body, we simply don't add to it. It's already current. But Zen is outside of words and phrases, so what is apparent when all the words drop away? When the need for a word's meaning falls away? What is bright and apparent now? Like when we're falling asleep, brushing the teeth, seeing a friend's warm smile, listening to a talk. Just as the finger points to the moon, the words point to the place where words are redundant and have no need of meaning or idea. That's their purpose. Our birth may have been uncountable decades ago, but birth is also what delivers this moment. Not as an intellectual puzzle, but in terms of our own experience. That which has arisen to be this. Although we cannot touch the past or the future, for touch is the ground of the current only, we know and live the verification of that past, creating the current, creating our now. And a notice goes out in the Zen Group of WA newsletter about a Sunday sit on country. Yeah? And barring the vagaries of aging brains, we meet up and sit together before the perched kookaburra. Yet, in the most real sense, the past doesn't exist for us except as the current. The past is shown as the imaginative flush we call memory that bears the stamp of perceptions, albeit a little recreated. All our experience from the cradle to the grave is the experience of the current. We live this current in a world that is ruled by cause and effect. This cause and effect, or causality to you physicists, permits us an impression of one thing following upon the previous thing. The jug boils, we make tea. This ordering we call time. But such a lineal time is our creation. There's no law in physics that requires it to be this way. We create time, lineal time. We create it to make sense of the constantly arising current, our experience of unfolding reality. The lineal impression of time is complicit in our own continued ongoing experience of being me. By placing ourselves within time as a lineal flow, we confer upon ourselves the happy property of perpetuation. We get to perceive our own existence perpetuating through time. We get to endure. This is lovely, but it's got its hiccups. This way we not only miss that there is no solid perpetuating self, we even miss that the created sense of self is massively discontinuous. Sometimes it's here, sometimes it's not. As Uchiyama Roshi wrote, it's the life of the self that creates the appearance of time. How long does it take you to breathe, a single breath? I can tell you. The average human being at rest breathes once every 3.75 seconds. So that's give or take 12 or 14,000 breaths since you woke this morning. That's quite a lot. Or not. If you take a breath right now, let's do this, in and out. Okay, where's that breath gone? It's not still here because we're breathing another breath, hopefully. At the fullness of inhalation, the sensations of this breath that started are all gone. They no longer exist. When we're in the middle of an inhale, the very beginning of that breath is past, is gone. It's no longer here. It's no longer current experience. We only experience the current, the cliff edge of birth and death, where we live riding a wave, a moment and breadth, a whole lifetime through. It all happens here. This is mystery. This is the beauty of life. Yamada Roshi wrote, "Every moment is the manifestation of the whole. Life itself is nothing but the continuous moment of the whole. And everybody is living this continuous moment of the whole." In Zen practice, the current is simply the life fact. What's the life fact for you? No need to look at me or yourself, but look at everything else. Even though the current is simply the live fact, for us human social creatures, there is something extra in the mix, our sense of self. The gravitational hub of our self-centricity that is both a blessing and a curse. In meditation, the senses operate just fine without any sense of self. It's not required to see, to hear, to feel, even think. But we do need the sense of self to present ourselves as someone, preferably a consistent someone, otherwise we get into trouble. To relate experience to this body for its physical needs and purposes, to be able to flag ideas and reasonings that directly affect us, to identify that emotions say something about our lives right now. The list of purpose for sense of self is huge and endless. We need sense of self, clearly, but not all the time. We get so used to upholding it that we perpetuate it through habit, or so it seems. However, much of the time it's not only unnecessary, it doesn't even arise. So given this, how do we practice the current, the cliff edge of birth and death? Firstly, it's good to acknowledge that we have a tendency to be captivated by our own sense of self or our me-ness. It's natural. We're sort of fascinated, even warned by our own self-impression. Our self-centricity encourages our self-fascination, and for good reason too, because fundamentally we cannot account for ourselves. Really, at the heart of things, we cannot account for the existence as this one here. We certainly try. We spend a lot of time trying. We promulgate all sorts of ideas about ourselves, about our lives, and it's all endless. There are so many ways that we cover over the simple reality that we can't account for ourselves. From the intensity and perhaps relative insanity of self-narration on the present, you know, things like talking to yourself about what's happening right now, even as it's happening. Why am I saying this? To the stories we hold and have nurtured that remind us of our history, is this one here. We spend so much time trying to uphold the impression of self, we miss noticing that it's also unnecessary. That whatever we are is fine without trying to chase our ideas of ourselves, our identifications, our history, all working toward a proxy impression for that which we cannot account for. This. We are at our most free when there is no one to be. There we find authenticity and immediacy. All things collecting and expressing, naturally so. The ease of the rain, the cool of the evening, a voice in the dojo. We may think this is a special condition, but really it's quite normal, quite natural. And then we go and reflexively put ourselves into the picture of experience. A sort of, here I am moment. Because we cannot account for ourselves, after all. So what do we do? We capitulate to the current. Capitulate as you are. With practice and faith, this reflexivity of sense of self becomes less required. The world takes us up. We learn to trust not needing to be someone. We trust permitting what has already arisen to be so. You and all. As Dogen said, if you want to see things as they are, then you yourself must practice just as you are. When there is just sitting, just as you are, there are no boundaries, no self, no other. All is already gathered as the expression of sitting here now. In such intimacy, there is no one needed to be. We've let be, not being able to account for ourselves, as no one is needed an effort, no one needed an awareness, no one needed in knowing. In the palace of the shimmering self, there is no one at all. Just the crystal palace reflecting everything where it is. Where you are. Right here. This is the great life. Your life. I dearly wish you well. Thank you for this wonderful opportunity to be here with you.